Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about all their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. The Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care, all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. And be sure to vote for All the Best Pet Care in the Best of Western Washington for Best Pet Supplies. Voting is open now. We've got a great show today. We have Nora Lenz with us, who is the founder of NoMoreVetBills.com. And I'm going to be talking with Nora in just a few minutes after I make a few event announcements about the philosophy called natural hygiene. Very interesting. It's basically, I'll paraphrase, basically about the removing waste from the body, and that basically disease is caused by the buildup of waste, or the body is overwhelmed in eliminating waste, and all of the ways that we can do that, and that the body is basically equipped to heal itself. But before we talk with Nora about natural hygiene and her website, NoMoreVetBills.com, wanted to announce that tomorrow, which actually happens to be my birthday, September 8th, the A-Help Project. So I talked with Michelle Nichols a few weeks ago with the A-Help Project, which is Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project. They are hosting a speaker series event honoring your animal companion and your grief journey. It is Thursday, September 8th. That's tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8:30 at Shoreline Universalist Unitarian Church. $20 donation or $17 advance purchase. See ahelpproject.org for details. To be addressed by three local A-Helpers, a spiritual counselor, social worker, and family therapist, the Human-Animal Bond, Society and Pet Loss, Grief Before and After Death of a Beloved Pet, Helping Children Grieve, Remembering Your Beloved Pet Through Rituals and Memorials, Taking Care of Yourself, and then 30 minutes for questions and comments. And this is just such an important topic, I think. Grief around pets. You know, I recently got an email from a listener in Connecticut, actually. My home turf, I'm from Massachusetts. And he had come across the show that I did. I think it was Dog Talk Show number 31. So it was some time ago in September of 09, after I had lost my first dog, Chewy, to cancer. And I did a show on that and just shared kind of my experience about it. And it was so intense. And he was just thanking me because he didn't feel like many people in his life really understood how intense his grief was, because it's a pet, and some people that don't get it don't acknowledge it. Anyway, it's a great organization. If you want to listen to Michelle's interview, you can look it up online on www.dogtalkshow.com. Go to the podcast page and then scroll down and look for Michelle Nichols' interview, the A-Help Project. That's A-Help Project. And also all the past shows are archived on iTunes as a free audio podcast. So you can find all of our shows on iTunes as well. You can download it and take it with you wherever you go. We are also on Facebook. Be sure to check out the Dog Talk Show Facebook fan page. So just search for the Dog Talk Show and you'll see our cute little orange and blue logo at the top, and become a fan of us on Facebook as well. So I've got Nora Lenz with me in the booth today, which is always a treat because oftentimes I'm talking with somebody elsewhere in the country. But Nora's local, and she's the founder of a website called NoMoreVetBills.com. And Nora, you contacted me a few weeks back and just to introduce yourself and, you know, as a potential guest. And I was kind of looking at the website, and it seemed like a very interesting topic and interesting conversation, and an important perspective, I think, to share with people so that they can think about it as it might pertain to themselves and their pets. So tell us a little bit about yourself, And, you know, how'd you create this website, nomorevetbills.com, and tell us a bit about natural hygiene and what that is.
Okay, well, first I want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it. And I'm thrilled to be able to expose to dog lovers out there in listener land these ideas that aren't getting talked about in the veterinary world or even in the raw feeding world. Raw feeders are making lots of mistakes, and instead of blaming their feeding mistakes, they're looking to other areas where they can't do anything about, basically, mm-hmm. like genetics and previous vaccination damage and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But to explain how I got involved with natural hygiene, in 1990, I read a book called Toxemia Explained. And what it says basically is that all disease is caused by the accumulation of waste and toxins in the body. And if you want to properly address the symptoms of disease, all you have to do is stop creating it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought that made a lot of sense, and it really sort of blew me away. What if that could be true?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there's so many people who are thinking that other things cause disease, that they don't understand that that's what's really going on. But at the time I was working at Bastyr College, I was really just starting to make a hobby out of learning about alternative medicine and using various, you know, herbal or homeopathic preparations in order to address disease. But what this book taught me, or attempted to teach me at the time, was that those things really just suppress symptoms of disease. They don't address the underlying causes.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I was led back. I mean, I strayed away from natural hygiene for a few years as I delved deeper into alternative medicine and just learning about that. But I did eventually find my way back to natural hygiene about 11 years ago, when I became a raw foodist myself. I eat 100% raw food, mm-hmm. and I have for 11 years. And at that time, I began in earnest my education about the true causes of disease and how to best address them.
Mm-hmm.
And how this all relates to dogs is I found a way of feeding my dog and all dogs that virtually eliminates disease in almost all cases. There are such things as breeding issues and previous vaccination damage and external factors that we can't do anything about that contribute to disease. But even when you have those kinds of factors involved, if you haven't addressed feeding mistakes, then you haven't done everything possible to remove the cause of the problem. And the only time that you should be managing symptoms for the life of the dog is when you've done everything to address the cause. If mm-hmm. you can remove the cause of the disease, if the body is able to regenerate, if it's not too damaged by that point, mm-hmm. then it will regenerate.
Mm-hmm. So the basic philosophy is removing toxins, so mm-hmm. that the buildup of waste or the body being overwhelmed by the amount of waste inside, and that, what you said, the elimination.
Right. The primary eliminative organs can handle a lot, but it's easy to overwhelm them because both the human species and the canine species, for our entire biological history, have eaten very clean foods and only foods of our biological adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
So in neither case are we or dogs prepared to deal with the daily onslaught of indigestible foods,
mm-hmm.
medicines, herbs, supplements, et cetera, all the things that pollute the body.
Yeah. Something that strikes me in this conversation about the difference between what you're talking about and the philosophy of natural hygiene versus the institution of medicine in general, and kind of the cultural philosophy anyway, at least here, is the main difference between philosophically taking away versus adding to.
Exactly.
And that this is about removing what's causing the problem in the first place,
right,
versus trying to add in more stuff. And I know, you know, very commonly a lot of the things that modern medicine does add in you know, I mean, side effects, and, you know, there is adding toxins in right. addition to whatever the drug might be that's potentially masking a symptom, but it's right. adding more toxins and adding more of a burden on the internal organs that filter right. those toxins.
And you have to understand that the reason why that is so is because deficiency is always focused on, because when you have a deficiency, you can add something to the body that will, you know, supposedly alleviate the symptoms. And sometimes it really does alleviate the symptoms. It doesn't mean the disease is gone. Mm-hmm. It's just changed the symptom into a side effect. A side effect is just another symptom.
Yeah.
So, but it's a trade-off. But when you can sell something, when you can sell a substance, when you can sell an herb, an homeopathic remedy, any of those, a supplement, any of those things, you can make money.
Or and pharmaceutical.
Or pharmaceutical. And that's what the system is based on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the reason why I started this website, to get back to that, is that over the years, as I was learning how to remove the cause of my dog's symptoms and seeing him over and over and over again get over his symptoms without any veterinary intervention whatsoever, I did have mishaps where I would have to deal with the veterinary community, you know, dog bites. I mean, I have a dog business. I have a dog care business.
Mm-hmm.
And things happen, you know, they step on things, they bite each other. So I would have interaction with the veterinary community. And every time that happened, I would see people who had these problems that would be so easy to fix.
Mm-hmm.
If I had their ear, you know, if I could just say, what do you feed your dog? How often do you feed your dog? You know, are you open to feeding him different kinds of foods? And, you know, just educating them, then the problem would just go away.
Mm-hmm.
And it became very apparent to me that even though individual vets care about dogs,
mm-hmm.
nobody could claim that they don't. They spend their whole lives, you know,
right.
caring for dogs.
Yeah,
it's the system
yeah.
that doesn't care. The system has no heart. The system teaches them in order to see deficiency so that they can then add something instead of taking away things.
Yeah, so hold that thought.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back talking with Nora Lenz, who's the founder of NoMoreVetBills.com. We're talking about natural hygiene. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. or follow them on Facebook.
Dr. Dodd's Automotive recommends servicing your air conditioning and cabin filters regularly to minimize noise for sound-sensitive dogs and to keep your puppy cool in the summer heat. Visit drdoddsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service, with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., we cover the world of animals. This week, gifted mystic Robin Alexis will join me for the show. Together, we'll be tuning in to different specific animal situations to find out what the animals have to say. This will be the first Robin and Martha Sunday since Robin's moved to Mount Shasta, and her gifts have expanded phenomenally since then, so you definitely want to join us for this show. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Click the shows page on 1150kknw.com for the scoop on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we are back talking with Nora Lenz, who is the founder of NoMoreVetBills.com. And we're talking about a philosophy called natural hygiene. And basically the idea of or approach of removing toxins, removing or decreasing as much as possible the amount of waste internally, so the body is basically clear to function as it's designed to and to heal itself. And how different that is from, you know, the whole culture of certainly this country, where we're adding and adding and adding and more drugs and more drugs and more drugs, and then the food system is a whole nother, you know, I mean, it's just wacky. And, you know, I've talked about pet food a lot on this show. And, you know, what we're speaking about today, actually, you know, I'm interested, we're going to start talking in this segment about raw food and kind of your take on the different raw food philosophies and what you see that they are lacking or missing or adding too much of, even in their philosophies too. So, so we were, you know, basically talking about, well, first of all, let's talk in natural hygiene. You had talked about there was two main classifications of disease.
Right.
So one was constructive and one is degenerative. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. Well, the premise is that all disease in the body is created by this situation known as toxicosis, which just means that your bloodstream and your tissues are saturated with wastes and your primary eliminative organs can't keep up with the burden. So the wastes have to find someplace else to go. They get stored or they come through the skin, or in the case of dogs, they come through the eyes, through the ears, and that's the source of these so-called infections, eye infections or ear infections. But those things are all that those kinds of symptoms, and this would include colds, flus, those sorts of things, are all constructive disease because they seek to purify their purpose is to purify the body.
Expelling whatever.
Expelling
is,
the burden, right?
Yeah.
The excess waste. Degenerative disease, on the other hand, is a consequence of an organ or an area of the body having had chronic exposure or contact with wastes and toxins such that it's not able to continue functioning. Mm-hmm. And in a great majority of the cases, even when those kind of situations are present, like when the organ is failing to function, it's still able to regenerate. And you don't know until you've tried removal of cause whether that's the case. And I see the vast majority of people suppressing symptoms instead of removing cause. And I think that is true of the various camps within the raw feeding community for dogs as well.
Something that sort of strikes me as I've pondered this, you know, over time and talked with people about it and all that stuff is this whole idea of suppressing symptoms versus getting to the root of the cause and really addressing the cause of the symptoms. Because the symptoms really are secondary. And it also seems like the symptoms are, in a way, a communication from the body of, hey, something's not, you know, this ain't right. This isn't, you know, this is where I'm hurting, or, hey, pay attention. And it's like we're not listening and just trying to shut the symptoms up.
Right. Yeah, people are always using that analogy where a mechanic would, you know, just turn off the engine light. I mean, why would you take your car to a mechanic who just turns off the engine light? Wouldn't right. you want the mechanic to fix the problem?
Right.
But it's even worse than that in the body, because you're not only turning off the signal when you suppress the symptom, but you're adding to it.
Yeah.
You're creating more of a burden for the body.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you mentioned the two main camps within the raw feeding community.
Mm-hmm.
One, and I brought a couple books with me just to remind me, but they're the Bible basically for the prey model feeders is a book called Raw Meaty Bones by Tom Lonsdale. And it's a very good book. In fact, both of these books that I brought with me today are very good. The problem with prey model feeding is it tends to overemphasize animal products and underemphasize plant matter.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs have traditionally, historically, in their development as a species, eaten both foods. They haven't always had access to prey whenever they wanted it, and they've had to eat other foods.
I know my dogs love, with this summer especially, they eat peaches and snap
right.
peas and zucchini
right.
and asparagus stalks. And I mean, I'm surprised at the stuff that they'll put down happily.
Right.
And I just share it with them, or as I'm preparing something, or,
mm-hmm.
and they love it. The fruits
yeah.
and vegetables, you know, in addition to the meat.
Right.
So the, what you see with this prey model, which to me sounds like focusing on the meat, the animal matter, is that it doesn't talk about the importance of plant matter in
well,
the diet.
It's not so much that it's a deficiency of plant matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's that there's so much excess, especially if you're feeding a dog every day. If you feed a dog animal foods every day, that's a lot of waste. When we observe wolves, we note that even when prey is abundant, they choose not to eat every day. There have been lots of studies that have shown that wolves, even when they can choose to eat every day, they eat every 2 or 3 days, and many times, in fact, it's impossible to say whether it's the majority of time that they haven't had access to prey whenever they wanted it,
mm-hmm.
or how long they've had to go on average without, you know, having a successful hunt. But we can conclude from what we've seen that wolves very often have to go days or weeks without food. And when they come across other foods that they can digest, like fallen fruit, they do eat them.
Mm-hmm. What about dogs, though, in speaking about, and this is a question I have, I don't know the answer, but it's a question that's there for me to ask, is dogs also are not wolves. You know, dogs are exist because of their relationship with human beings. So how are they, when we're talking about how they are, you know, really trying to feed them how they are naturally designed to eat. What does that look like for dogs? Because dogs exist as a species because of, you know, human contact and cleaning up our waste. And of course, back then it was all organic and fresh
right.
kills and all that stuff.
Right.
But do you, you know, have you come across that as far as like, well, we understand wolves, we've studied wolves, but what about domestic dogs 5,000 years ago or 500 years ago? What are they really designed to eat? How are they designed to eat?
Right.
And how does that differ from wolves?
Well, biological adaptation is what we're talking about. And biological adaptation takes millennia. It takes a long, long, long time, millions of years. And dogs have been on this planet for 37 million years. So their biological adaptations were already in place by the time they were domesticated. So we have to go back to their roots.
So wolves have been on the planet for 37 million years?
Yes.
Okay. Dogs have been 14,000. We can
right.
We
but,
can prove.
Right. But we didn't create a new species when we domesticated dogs. And dogs are still identical to wolves on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
we can't take everything that we know about wolves and apply it to dogs. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Our dogs don't get as much exercise. There might be, you know, pre-existing disease, pre-existing digestive dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have access to the same foods that wolves do.
Mm-hmm.
Wolves eat very clean foods. And we eat we are forced to give our dogs the products of modern animal agriculture,
right,
which are, you know, full of toxins. Those animals are fed, they're misfed.
Yeah.
They're fed things that they shouldn't be getting, like antibiotics and that sort of thing. And that stuff ends up in the tissues of those animals.
Yeah. I think the other important point to make a difference between wolves and dogs is who controls the reproduction. Because we generally control the reproduction of dogs and creating all these breeds. And
right.
I mean, they do reproduce on their own to a degree. But
right.
Wolves, we're way, way, way less. I mean, it's definitely the minority or the, you know, the exception where we're actually controlling the reproduction. So just right. Genetically, that's a big difference to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and they're, I mean, creating a dog to have a certain floppy kind of ear or a certain kind of coat that you want to see, it's ignoring function in favor of form,
right,
which is always a recipe for disaster.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue. We went off on a little tangent there, but that's great. Tangents are excellent. We're going to go back to what we started talking about, which is the raw food diets and kind of the two main structures that are in place. And based on the philosophy of natural hygiene and Nora's observations, kind of what she sees is wrong with these two models. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
This is Kim Ariane. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. And we are back talking with Nora Lenz, who is the founder of NoMoreVetBills.com. Welcome back, Nora.
Thank you.
We're having a very interesting conversation about natural hygiene and the philosophy behind that, and that the cause of all disease is basically the accumulation of waste, and that the body is overwhelmed, eliminator systems are overwhelmed in the body and can't get all the waste out. And so looking at really striving for internal cleanliness so that the body is clear to heal itself. And taking away the things that are getting in the way of that rather than adding things like drugs or whatever it might be to mask a symptom, but to actually get to the root of the problem. And so we've been talking about food, a common topic on this show. Mm-hmm. But this is an interesting sort of, you have a specific take on raw feeding that I think is important to speak to, because this is something that Darcy and I have been really thinking about recently for ourselves and our dogs in them eating raw food diet, is the question of, well, is it organic? And then, you know, what is the right combination of, you know, animal matter versus plant matter? And I mentioned earlier in the show how I share a lot of what I eat when it's for fruits and vegetables, which is frequently, you know, and how they are like blueberries and peaches and zucchini and snap peas. And I mean, I'm surprised at the stuff that they'll eat. So you've brought two books with you, and they sort of represent two main bodies of I guess philosophy and raw feeding or kind of approaches on that. And mm-hmm. and you see that they both have flaws. So what we were talking about in the last segment was that the prey model feeders are overfeeding animal products and underfeeding plant matter.
Right.
And so that's one of the main ones, is this prey model, which basically is, like you said, focusing too much on the animal products and that it's not balanced in the way that it could be, should be. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other model too. So talk about that one.
Right. Well, let me just explain first of all that as people realize that commercial dog foods are so damaging and so unsupportive of health, they've moved away from that and they've started, you know, home feeding. And home feeding can take lots of different forms. But basically, in the raw feeding community, there have been two philosophies that have been developed. One is the prey model feeding philosophy, which just believes that that a dog should eat the entire body of a small plant-eating animal, mm-hmm. or even a large ungulate, mm-hmm. which is true. What they don't get is that dogs haven't had access to prey foods every day during their long biological history, mm-hmm. and so it's very easy for dogs to get overfed, especially considering that our domestic dogs don't exercise nearly as much as have in their history.
So it's like, oh, you're supposed to eat a whole mouse or whatever, whole rabbit, so I'm going to give it to you twice a day. Where right. It's like, well, they wouldn't get it that much.
Right. There's nothing in a dog's biological history to prepare them for something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like I said before, even when wolves have the opportunity, they don't hunt every day. Mm-hmm. They give their bodies a day of rest, and it just comes naturally to them, mm-hmm. every other day or even 2 days, mm-hmm. or more. Mm-hmm. With the barf feeding philosophy, they tend to go in the other direction. They feed lots of different types of foods. They feed things like oils, dairy products, very cellulose-dense vegetables. Dogs really they're not chewers. They don't chew their food the way we do. Mm-hmm. So they're not able to break apart these cellulose membranes that contain the nutrients. Mm-hmm. So that's why very often when you feed your dog those kinds of foods, you see them coming out the other end looking sure. pretty much the same way as they went right. when they went in. And they also tend to combine lots of different foods, animal foods and plant foods together in the same meal. They think that this is creating some kind of perceived balance mm-hmm. in the food. Like, you know, when you prepare a plate for a human being, you have the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables and all of that. And that's what we have been brainwashed to think is a balanced meal.
Right.
But it's actually a digestive disaster, because when you have a starch food or a carbohydrate food going into a single chambered stomach, like in a dog or a human, with a protein food, those two types of foods require different chemical environments for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So the digestive fluids actually neutralize each other, which means the food doesn't get digested very well, which, and now we're getting back to the problem of waste accumulation, food that doesn't get digested can't possibly be used, so it just increases the accumulation of waste in the body, and it overwhelms the primary eliminative system.
Mm-hmm. So does the waste just get expelled through feces, or... So, like, if it's not digestible, then wouldn't it just pass through? So what is the impact of that?
Well, waste, it can circulate throughout the body. It can be stored in the body. That's why so many domestic dogs are fat.
Yeah. And that's something I remember, I think it was with Dr. Fox, Dr. Michael Fox, who I've had on the show a few times, talking about the most prevalent illnesses, and it was based off of some... pet insurance agency, but how that actually obesity is not recognized or covered, but that really is probably the number one is, and I see that all over the place, you know.
Yeah, and it's
just overweight. I mean, and it's a reflection of our culture as well with obesity and how that's a reflection of the food system and all this stuff. I mean, unfortunately, it's really a mirror of us.
Right. And it's not just obesity. I mean, you can tell when a dog is overfed, obviously, because they have too much weight. But there are other ways that the body has to use to get rid of the waste when those primary organs are overwhelmed. And skin issues are just a matter of waste coming through the skin,
mm-hmm.
and irritating nerve endings on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that, then you want to make sure that you don't do anything that causes that stuff to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
You want to relieve the suffering if you absolutely have to, if the dog has a serious skin problem. But the main thing you want to look at is what's creating all this waste in the body,
mm-hmm.
that's having to come through the skin or through the ears or through the eyes in the form of discharge.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different, and over again, I see vets just suppressing those symptoms and treating the discomfort instead of getting rid of the suffering,
mm-hmm.
completely.
You know, and talking about what dogs are really designed to eat and, you know, and kind of the basis of this whole conversation, pretty much. I was thinking, so I just got back from this trip to northeastern Washington, so like 6 hours northeast of Seattle. Some friends of mine have some property, a large chunk of property up there, and big group of us went out and we all took our dogs, and I was fortunate to be able to go up for a week, and I've got two Australian cattle dogs and a dachshund, and so the dachshund actually joined us about halfway through, so I just took the cattle dogs up, and then Darcy and the dachshund joined us about halfway through, and they were, you know, being cattle dogs, I mean, they are meant for space, and I mean, they were in their element. I mean, it was dusty, it was lots of open space, and it's happens to be an area where it's like free range. So basically, cows and horses and other animals too, but mainly we saw cows will just sort of free range. And if you don't want them on your land, you have to fence them out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you don't want, they have the right to be there, and if you don't want them there, you have to fence them out. Well, as a result of that, there was lots of cow pies.
Mm.
And I don't even know how much cow poop my dogs ate this last
really?
Week.
Really? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something there that they recognize as food.
Yeah, and so we took them herding several times last winter, and sheep herding, and we were out there herding, and they were trying to eat the sheep poop, and we were, no, and the woman was actually like, you know, it's actually pretty good for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't guarantee there aren't any parasites in there, but it's loaded with enzymes. And so I was like, okay. So after about a day of just fighting a losing battle and trying to keep them away from the mm-hmm. cow poop, I just let it go. And, you know, it didn't make them sick.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily want kisses from them that night, but, And they actually, after a while, they kind of calmed down with it, too, and they weren't so obsessive about it.
Yeah.
They kind of evened out. But it was just kind of interesting to watch, like, okay, I may think it's gross, but clearly the dogs are into it. And I guess it's not really that harmful. It's just digested grass.
Right. Nobody tells wolves what they should and shouldn't eat. They know. Yeah. They have that inherent knowledge about what will sustain them and what's not food for them.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs, you know, some dogs can't be trusted. Some dogs will eat rubber squeaky toys.
Sure.
You know.
Right.
But my dog, I've noticed that my dog will eat horse dung as long as the horse was fed grass, but he won't eat hay-fed horse dung.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust him. If he wants to eat a little bit of horse dung as we're hiking, mm-hmm. then I let him do that.
Mm-hmm.
He recognizes, he's trustworthy. You have to know your dog.
Yeah.
So, and I know my dog, and he's very discerning.
Yeah.
He eats only things that, you know, are food.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was an understanding that we came to between myself and the cattle dogs, was that they were going to eat the cow poop, and there was not much I could do about it, and I just accepted it, and they actually seemed fine. Didn't make them sick or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of interesting in talking about that. So we're talking about raw food diets and how, you know, there's a certain thing. So what do you think is, and actually, let's take a break, and then when we come back, I want you to answer the question, what do you recommend? So what, you know, we've said, well, this one overfeeds animal products and underfeeds plant matter, and well, this one feeds foods that dogs can't digest, and you know, maybe foods that come from the agricultural system that have toxins in them already. Well, so what do you recommend? And then you can also tell us a little bit about your own dog, too, and your successes there as well. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy.
Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we're back talking with Nora Lenz, who is the founder of NoMoreVetBills.com. Nora is local, right here in Bellevue, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
5 minutes away from the studio.
Excellent. So she's actually in the booth with us, and we've been talking about the philosophy of natural hygiene, the cause of all disease being the accumulation of waste, and the different classifications of disease, the difference between constructive and degenerative. And mainly we've been focusing on food. Now, I want to have you answer the question of, well, what do you recommend then? Because we've been talking about what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But before I do that, I just want to make sure that I mention that you sent me an email directing me to your website. And one of the things that really spoke to me about what I read, and in this interview, we've been talking mainly about food, but was the idea that looking at health from really all angles, and specifically for dogs, you know, you can apply this to us too. And, you know, but I think, you know, in working my profession as dog training and behavior and some food consultation as well, and mainly with training and behavior. So dogs are having behavioral issues, or people are just having a hard time communicating with their dogs, or, you know, basic obedience, whatever. And that I see so many dogs are just not fulfilled as animals.
Mm-hmm.
And well, what does that mean? I mean, we talk about health. We talk about physical exercise, physical fitness, diet, which I talk about a lot on the show. But what about, and this is something else that I talk a lot about on the show, is, well, what about them having the opportunity to really do what they are made to do? You know, for example, I've got two cattle dogs, so herding.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be herding, and they want to be working all day. And they weren't really able to herd, but they had the space this last week. It was an amazing thing. It was the first time I ever experienced them in that way, where they just had the space to be, to run, to be tired,
mm-hmm.
and to see them kind of adjust to that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to use their noses to find things and all of these things that it means to be a dog, and how dogs, when they live in a yard, or, you know, they're just so not fulfilled as animals, and how, you know, looking at health from that perspective too, the dog's emotional well-being, mental well-being, energetic well-being, in addition to the physical stuff, which may be the obvious, the medical, the dietary, all that stuff.
Right.
So that was one thing that really spoke to me in reading your site, was that really speaking to that aspect of health and looking at it from that perspective. So we're talking about raw feeding and the overfeeding of animal products, or the feeding foods that dogs can't digest, etc. So what do you recommend?
Well, I, over the last 12 years, have developed a way that I've been feeding my own dog, and I've been coaching other people to feed their dogs this way too. I call it rotational mono feeding, because it really takes into account the fact that dogs have only one chamber in their stomach, and they've really, over their biological history, not had the opportunity to go out and combine foods. So you wouldn't find a dog eating prey food and then eating plant matter on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
A dog might go ahead and eat plant matter, having not had the opportunity to have prey food, and then get the opportunity to hunt. But plant food actually digests much more quickly than animal food, so you wouldn't have that combination problem. But when you combine lots of different types of foods in the same meal, it really makes a complicated digestive mess for dogs. So key to my program is only feeding dogs one type of food per day. So you would feed prey foods on one day, and then the next day you would feed only fruit, and then the next day you would feed like cooked vegetables. And really the only cooked vegetables that I recommend are yams and sweet potatoes, and pumpkin, maybe squash, those kinds of things. And they must be cooked because that breaks the starches down into simple sugar so they can be digested.
So two questions. When you say only feeding animal matter, is it just of one source, like only venison? Or could you feed venison and duck?
Yes.
Okay.
Animal foods comprise one type of food.
Okay. And then the other thing is, what's wrong with feeding zucchini and snap peas and peaches and apples and bananas and all that?
There's nothing wrong with feeding those foods at all. In fact, those foods will be chosen by dogs. Most dogs will eat those foods willingly. My dog won't touch any vegetable, but he loves all kinds of fruits. He'll eat cooked vegetables. He'll eat not all cooked vegetables, but he'll eat cooked sweet potatoes, for example.
So when you say the only foods that you recommend feeding, the plant foods being yams and sweet potatoes, is that cooked?
Yes.
The other ones you do recommend,
raw.
But raw.
Yes.
Got it.
Fruit raw.
Okay.
For sure. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
And you can let the dog choose the kinds of fruits that they like to eat. Many dogs, most dogs love apples, pears, berries.
Yep.
Bananas.
Yeah.
The tropicals are a little iffy.
Right. Citrus, a little iffy.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Melons. My dog loves melons.
Yeah, yeah.
My dog has eaten nothing but figs for the last 8 days, and he's doing absolutely great.
Huh.
And which is, it's remarkable. You know, it's, in fact, I boarded him for a week, and I made the mistake of sending to the border animal foods for him every day. I don't know what I was thinking. And they did. They fed him animal products for 5 days in a row. And when I picked him up, he had discharge coming out of his eyes. He had scratchy ears and oily residue on his back.
And what kind of dog do you have?
He's a cockapoo. He's almost 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not been to the vet in 11 years for sickness.
Wow.
He's had mishaps. He's been bitten by a couple of dogs. But he has not been sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he still does walks with me. And
yeah.
And he's still quite functional, even almost at almost 19.
Yeah, well, that's great. So you have an ebook on your website?
Yes, I have an ebook on my website that walks people through this rotational monofeeding program, and it gives people specific instructions. It's not just, yeah, go feed your dog raw.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes the mystery out of it. It sort of holds their hand, and it tells them what they might expect by way of detoxification symptoms and what the best way is to transition a dog. It talks a little bit about fasting dogs, which is very important. It's dogs have
adapted. How much do you recommend fasting?
Well, I recommend fasting therapeutically when a dog has a symptom, especially ear problems, skin problems, eye issues.
How long?
As long as it takes to clear up the symptom. I have fasted my own dog for up to 10 days with water only. And it's very safe. There are lots of books that you can read about fasting humans, and the information is applicable to dogs as well, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So your website is nomorevetbills.com. You have an ebook on there that sort of spells out in more detail your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the books that we were referring to, which are great books and are definitely worth reading and have a lot of great information that Nora was sharing her perspective on. One is Give Your Dog a Bone by Ian Billinghurst. That one's been around for a while.
Yep.
And then Raw Meaty Bones by Tom Lonsdale. And, you know, it's good. You know, ultimately, it's your pet, and people will do what makes sense to them. I think that the key to everything, though, is educating people so that they will make their choices, but let them have the information. Because the way things are now, especially with pet food, is people just have no idea what is actually in that food.
And how bad it really is.
And how bad it really is. And how would they know?
Right.
Because it's not on the labels. And everybody's, you know, most of the population is, you know, with vets and breeders and all that. The industry just has such a grip on this culture.
Yeah.
And so just so important to put the information out there and then let people make educated choices. At least they know what they're doing. Well, thank you so much for your time today. If anyone's missed any part of this interview, you can find it archived on www.dogtalkshow.com. All of our shows are also available as a free audio podcast on iTunes. So you can just search for the Dog Talk Show under the audio podcast section of iTunes. And Nora has a quick announcement that she'd like to make in just about 15 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, well, part of my business is a doggy play group and that I operate on the east side here in Bellevue. And I've just started doing, I've had this business for 15 years and I just recently started doing a little bit of traveling and I'm looking for someone who can take over for me and run my play group.
When you're gone.
When I'm gone. Right. Somebody who might enjoy 3 or 4 hours out with dogs, making a little money and learning a little bit about dog training.
And how would they get in touch with you?
Oh, they can email me through the website.
Okay. And that is nomorevetbills.com. Great.
Right.
Well, Nora, thanks so much for your time today. It was a great conversation, important information for people to think about. And it was a pleasure having you here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.